I would say this, self-exploration that starts with a reference of yourself and the world around you will always cause you to end up off course. But if your reference for self-discovery is Jesus, you'll always wind up with a perspective of humility and service like John. Hey guys, welcome to the Rally Point Podcast, where we'll be talking each week about how men can rally around Jesus. A relationship with Jesus affects every aspect of our life. So some weeks we'll be talking theology, sometimes marriage, parenting, health, or personal development. No one person has all the answers, so my hope is that this feels like a conversation with a friend as we grow together and explore life as a Jesus follower and a man. I'm Chris Cirillo, your host. Don't hesitate to hit me up on social media. Just come say hi or comment on this week's episode. And be sure that if you enjoy the podcast, to subscribe and leave a review. It's so helpful for other people to be able to find and hear the podcast. Enjoy. Hey, so let's dive in. Today, we will be talking about self-discovery and how to build and create the life of your dreams with a little bit of a biblical twist. But before we do, I want to thank all of you guys who've taken time to review, both those who've given star ratings and who've given written reviews. I just want to highlight one from last week and say thank you. Wes said, Chris does an amazing job taking time to talk over different topics that we run into every day as men, from how to be faithful stewards of what God has given us, being great husbands, fathers, and to keep ourselves in good physical shape in the meantime so as not to succumb to the typical quote-unquote dad bod. If you're looking to be uplifted and inspired in your walk as a man, this is the podcast for you. Thanks so much, Wes. I really appreciate it. Not only do I appreciate the kind words, but more importantly, I'm just super thankful that what we're discussing here is helpful for you. So for those that don't know, each week I'll give a shout out and call out here one of the reviews from last week, and I'll also be posting it on my social media. So let's dive in. I mean, we've been digging into some reading recently, and it's all about how God created us to be creative. We're made in the image of God, the greatest creator, and thus created with the ability and calling to ourselves create. This seemed to align with some different messages that I've also heard recently, and it got me thinking a lot about this topic. So the overarching and resonating theme was really this, that our essence informs our intention, and our intention determines how we create. What life we create is determined by how we identify our essence. Now, essence sounds like a pretty mystical and kind of hippie thing, I'm sure, but the essence of something is really just defined as the intrinsic nature or the indispensable quality of something. So our true essence is crafted by God, and He designed each of us for a specific purpose. So as we learn more about who He is, what we'll begin to understand as we learn more about who He is two very important things. Number one, we will learn who we're not, and also we will learn who we are. I'll explain these in just a minute. But as we further discuss these two truths about ourselves, we'll be, I guess, more in touch with the essence of which we're created with, which I believe consists really of two things, the image of God and a set of individual human characteristics and traits that kind of uniquely are built into each of us. And these are really valuable. So let's take a look at some scripture for a minute, and I'll kind of explain this some more. This is the opening story of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, a different John than the one that wrote the Gospel, right? So we'll pick up in verse 19. Verse 19 says, "This was John's testimony. When the Jews from Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, asked him, 'Who are you?' He didn't deny it, but he confessed, 'I am not the Messiah.' 'What then?' they asked. 'Are you Elijah?' 'I am not,' he said. 'Are you a prophet?' 'No,' he answered. 'Who are you then?' they asked. They needed to give an answer to those who had sent us." What can you tell us about yourself? He said, I am a voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet had said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet? John said, I baptize with water. Someone stands among you that you don't know. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. All of this happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. I think it's so interesting how John viewed himself. He took an approach to their questions that was actually really very a matter of fact, right? He starts by not by answering who he is to their questions. He actually starts by saying who he's not. I am not the Messiah. The religious leaders continue to question him. Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? I am not, he says. They pressed him harder, saying that they needed an answer. And John's response was not about his qualifications, his ministry, or his position. He says he is a witness. He says, I am a voice crying out in the wilderness. He doesn't even say the voice. He says a voice. As if he was like preparing a mindset in the people that there would and should be many voices who cry out in the dark, dead spaces around them, really proclaiming the glory of Christ. They move on to ask him, so why are you baptizing then? And he answers, he's just doing it with water, just using what I have. But someone stands among you that you don't even know. I'm not even worthy to touch his sandal, right? You may know later on, before Jesus' death, he actually washes his disciples' feet as a representation of service. As at the time, it was a servant or a slave's job to do the washing of people's feet. And John somewhat, in a way, pre-contrasts that with how he's not even worthy to touch this man's sandals. I think this is a super powerful statement. Really, what he's doing is he's boldly declaring through all of his language and response that he's not the Messiah, he's not a prophet, he's not Elijah, but he says two things that he is. He says, basically, I'm a vessel and I'm unworthy. So the first stage of really understanding who he's not and who he is happening, kind of unfolding here. What's interesting is they're asking if he's Elijah or a prophet, because the Old Testament scripture talks of Elijah coming again. And like I said, he denies it, but later Jesus himself actually says something different about this topic. So in Matthew 11:7, we'll pick up there. As these men were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothes? See, those who wear soft clothes are in royal palaces. What then did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I'm sending a messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violence has been seizing it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Let anyone who has ears listen. Here Jesus quotes Malachi 3:1, where the messenger appears to be a prophetic figure who's going to come appear, right? What's happening here is John found his identity in being a servant of the coming Messiah, a voice, a messenger of the King of God. Even though his God-given individual identity was to be the prophet and a representation of the power of Elijah. Luke 1:17 says, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. So what we're seeing here is that by clearly identifying who he is not, God gave him an identity, and through that he found out a lot more about who he really is. So guys, the only way for you to grow in a knowledge of who you are is really to grow in a knowledge of Christ first. I would say this, self-exploration that starts with a reference of yourself and the world around you will always cause you to end up off course. But if your reference for self-discovery is Jesus, you'll always wind up with a perspective of humility and service like John. John Calvin said this, and I believe it was in the Institutes of the Christian Religion. He said, "Man never attains a true self-knowledge until he has previously contemplated the face of God and come down after such contemplation to look into himself." And then later in the same text, he follows up with this. "The knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves are bound together by a mutual tie, but we must treat the former in the first place and then descend to the latter." So what does this all mean for us? As we look to create a life for ourselves and chase our dreams and work towards goals, what we wind up creating will be a result of our intention, and the intent of our path will be a result of our understanding of our essence, which is, who is God? Who is God in my life? How am I uniquely created? And in what way has he given me resources and an opportunity to be a vessel and a witness, or, you know, a voice in the wilderness? All while keeping our eyes kind of fixed on his incredible, indescribable grace through our realization that we're truly unworthy, right? So go, be creative, create a life, chase dreams that God has put on your heart, build a business, develop yourself further, have a family, invest, save, give, whatever it is. But remember that your reference for discovery and ultimately what you create must be Jesus. Otherwise, you're bound to wind up off course. So short and sweet today. Just wanted to share that thought. These are some things I've been mulling over, and hopefully it's helpful. Thanks for listening. I pray that this was encouraging and uplifting, and looking forward to talking with you guys next week.